We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. The band of carolers huddled at the corner, stamping their feet and swinging their arms, their young voices penetrating the cold night air between the harsh sounds of automobile horns and police whistles and the metallic strains of Christmas music blaring from storefront speakers. The snowfall was dense, snarling traffic, causing the hordes of last-minute shoppers to shield their eyes. Nevertheless, they managed to sidestep each other, as well as the lurching automobiles and the mounds of slush. Tires spun on the wet streets, buses inched in maddening starts and stops, and the bells of uniformed Santas kept up their incessant, if futile, clanging. Field and fountain, moor and mountain. A dark Cadillac sedan turned the corner and crept past the carolers. The lead singer, dressed in a costume that was somebody's idea of Dickens's Bob Cratchit, approached the right rear window, his gloved hand outstretched, his face contorted in song next to the glass. Following yonder star. The angry driver blew his horn and waved the begging caroler away, but the middle-aged passenger in the back seat reached into his overcoat pocket and pulled out several bills. He pressed a button. The rear window glided down, and the gray-haired man thrust the money into the outstretched hand. "God bless you, sir," shouted the caroler. "The Boys' Club of East 50th Street thanks you. Merry Christmas, sir." The words would have been more effective had there not been a stench of whiskey emanating from the mouth that yelled them. "Merry Christmas," said the passenger, pressing the window button to shut off further communication. There was a momentary break in the traffic. The Cadillac shot forward only to be forced to an abrupt, sliding stop 30 feet down the street. The driver gripped the steering wheel. It was a gesture that took the place of cursing out loud. "Take it easy, Major," said the gray-haired passenger, his tone of voice at once sympathetic and commanding. "Getting upset won't solve anything. It won't get us where we're going any faster." "You're right, General," answered the driver with a respect he did not feel. Normally, the respect was there, but not tonight, not on this particular trip. The General's self-indulgence aside, he had one hell of a nerve requesting his aide to be available for duty on Christmas Eve. For driving a rented civilian car to New York so the General could play games. The Major could think of a dozen acceptable reasons for being on duty tonight, but this was not one of them. A whorehouse. Stripped of its verbal frills, that's what it was. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was going to a whorehouse on Christmas Eve. And, because games were played, the general's most confidential aide had to be there to pick up the mess when the games were over.